All right. So the process of education systematizes our curiosity and teaches us to reduce our experiences of the world to generalizations. It's what we do in philosophy. It's what we do in science. You know, when you're learning physics, you're kind of learning, okay, well, you kick a football over the field goal. The field goal is this tall. You started this far out. You know, what's the force required to get the ball over the goalpost? And then apply that to rockets. And so you take our experiences from the world and you kind of generalize them. So that way you can say, oh, I know how to launch a rocket to the moon is the same way you kick a football over the field goal. You just need a bigger foot and to get more oomph into it. And so that's what the rocket fuel helps do. But this is what the process of intellectual growth is all about and what the educational process tries to develop. Or I should say, should try to develop your ability to reduce the diversity of your experiences to certain law-like generalizations. And that's what kind of is helping you to inform your worldview. And especially when we take a look at scripture, we do that where we say, okay, this is God saying, I declare this thing as evil, lying, murder. And so, if you look at the Western Shorter Catechism, it talks about, well, you know, this is what the seventh commandment is, the eighth commandment, the ninth, and so on. And so what do we pull that we're required to do? And also, what are we required not to do? And so they take these generalities and they say, here's what we know that God hates. And so we need to find similar law-like fashions to inform us on what we shouldn't or shouldn't do. So preserving life is good, including that of your neighbor, because you should build a parapet around your rooftop. And so if anyone happens to sleep up there, including your neighbor, then he doesn't fall. Or, you know, make sure your pits are gated off so that your neighbor's bull doesn't fall into there. And if they do, you should pay them a proper
rate to compensation. That's right. Yeah.
And that's what we've done. And those laws there, why the Western world views the Ten Commandments as important is because those models then informed our other things. Like if you back into somebody's car and you should have been looking, you should pay the damages for it. And so that generality is applied to the law. And so the law that we have in the Western world is taken from the Ten Commandments as well as a few various other places. And so what the law does then is to try and apply that generally and broadly to everybody, because that's what we view as the fair system here.
Right. Now, and generally, when you're talking about this kind of, you know, reducing your experience to law-like generalizations, really what he's describing here is induction, right? This is what we do with regard to induction. We, you know, we take particulars and then we say, you know, that's a white swan, that's a white swan, that's a white swan. Therefore, probably all swans are white. So now the law-like generalization is every time that I see a swan, it's going to be white, something like that. So he's really describing the inductive process here. What logicians call induction.
Right. And the ugly duckling syndrome. So, yeah. Oh, it's just an ugly duckling. Oh, no, yeah. Wait, hold on. It's the swan.
Right.
It's the white
swan. That's right. And then he moves on. He says, philosophy is resolving differences and conflicts. And he says, so what happens when you start generalizing about your experience in the world is that you find that certain conflicts come to mind. You learn that some people are, you know, pleasant to be around, but other people aren't pleasant to be around, right? And you learn that some people like math, others don't. And so you start realizing that there are differences between human beings when you start this process, right? Notice he's being really general. He's kind of starting at the very beginning because he's working his way up.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's showing one of the reasons why we do philosophy. I think Hans Hermann Hoppe talks about this in his conflict debates or something along those lines is how do we have good discussions? And it can't be both sides have to be equally without the use of force or force used against them in order to have the best type of conversation. And so that's kind of the general point is he's trying to make is, well, instead of fighting for things as mankind has done for centuries and over very little things like the strip of land between Ohio and Michigan that causes a war between the two states there, let's try talking things out. And so what's the best avenue of talking those things out is having a consistent overview on how to approach those things.